We begin the new liturgical year with this new liturgical season, Advent. Very beautiful time of year. I remember saying last Sunday on the solemnity of Christ, Jesus Christ, King of the universe, I said something to the effect of great crowds should gather and acclaim the coming of the King, and we were a very small congregation last Sunday. And it seemed a little bit out of place. But this Sunday, first Sunday of Advent, to have a small group gathered for the Mass is actually fitting. Advent is a low-key season, or at least liturgically it is. I know in the world it's not, but liturgically this is a time of patience, of waiting, of preparation, of silence, of withdrawing from the busyness in order to prepare the way for the Lord. In past years, I have tried greeting people Happy New Year on the first Sunday of Advent. Never works, and maybe it's really inappropriate anyway because we don't celebrate the beginning of the liturgical year. We celebrate the coming of the Lord, and Advent is the time of preparing for that. So it's a time of preparation, not a time of celebration. That's liturgical. So to say Happy New Year doesn't quite make sense liturgically. So here we are. It's the beautiful season of Advent. I really don't have to introduce it to those of you who are here. So let's turn right to the gospel. You might have noticed that the readings today have two readings that are very joyful, that meaning this, the first reading from Isaiah and the Psalm, very joyful readings. And then the second reading from Romans and the gospel are rather somber, quite serious, in fact. In today's gospel, Jesus starts to speak about the suddenness and the unexpectedness of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, he's speaking, so he has already come. This is New Testament, but he's speaking about his second coming, what we call his second coming. And he compares it, on one hand, to the flood in the days of Noah, and on the other hand, to the coming of a thief in the middle of the night, both of which to us are rather negative images. Usually when people think about the flood, they think of it as a great calamity, natural disaster, on biblical proportions, right? The floods. And we've had plenty of floods this year, in fact, in the past 6 months, to remind us how terrible flooding is. And Jesus says, just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Well, that doesn't sound too good to us because we think of flooding as a bad thing. But if you take the perspective of Noah, it was a day of salvation. Noah and his family, they were saved at the time of the flood. So it was a good thing that they were saved. They don't look at it the same way the people who died looked at it. The same with the image of the thief. Now, Jesus deliberately provokes or catches our attention with the idea of a thief coming in the middle of the night. But in fact, the Lord coming is not coming as a thief. He's the owner of the place. He's the master. He's not a thief. But if we are focusing on our own agenda and claiming the house as our own, as if we're the masters, then when the Lord comes, yes, it will be a terrible disaster for us. If we act as if we're the groom and someone's coming to take our bride, well, that's a disaster. But if we understand ourselves as servants of the Lord and as joyfully awaiting the coming of the Lord, it's not a disaster, and he doesn't seem to us to be like a thief. So Jesus uses these images. And now it struck me that in describing the behavior of the people in the days of Noah, Jesus says, in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. So eating, drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Well, eating and drinking, certainly that has continued to this day, and we're all eating and drinking every day. Marrying and giving in marriage actually has declined in our lifetime. In a way that is unique in human history. People don't get married anymore. It's just not the common thing. I saw a statistic recently where of all the people of marriageable age, only about half are married. That's never happened before. See, what Jesus is referring to is normal life, normal everyday life, normal activities, eating, drinking, getting married. That's just normal life. But that doesn't happen anymore. And as you know, birth rates have plummeted in our lifetime. So people aren't even having children anymore, which used to be considered just normal life. That's just what happens. What is normal life for us nowadays, or what is an ordinary everyday activity for us, is not working in a field or grinding grain, two more examples from the gospel, but social media. That's what people do. That's what people do all day, at work and at home, morning, noon, and night. I mentioned at the beginning how I've been flooded with papers. Social media, I have 6 or 7 pieces of paper. Now, I printed them, and that's not the normal thing. It should just be kept on my tablet or something. But in order to use them at Mass, I have these pieces of paper. I have a pastoral letter from the bishop. I'm very happy that he's well enough to issue a pastoral letter. And he mentions in his letter his gratitude for our prayers. So that's 2.5 pages. Then there's this notice about the trillion peso march, which is about to begin in EDSA. Then there's guidelines about how to observe this day in collaboration with the fight against corruption, etc. And then there's the prayers of the faithful, which are specially required for this day in connection with the trillion peso march. Then there's the prayer for the nation, which has been used actually for the past several months, but required to be used today at the end of Mass. And then I didn't print these, but I got notices about the Fiesta of St. Andrew, because the cathedral of this diocese is St. Andrew Cathedral. And the diocese pointed out that the Masses there will not be the Masses in honor of St. Andrew, because it's the first Sunday of Advent, and St. Sunday of Advent takes precedence over Andrew, except for the Fiesta Mass itself. The Cardinal is going to go there tonight at 6:30 p.m. to the Cathedral, St. Andrew Cathedral, celebrate a Fiesta Mass, and that will be the Liturgy of St. Andrew, special exception for the Fiesta. And they said it's the 445th Fiesta of St. Andrew. That's an old church. Then we have our Novena to the Immaculate Conception. Today's the second day. Then if you look in social media, if you're like me, you have been bombarded with Black Friday advertisements and sales. Even in my email box, my inbox is full of notices about Black Friday sales extended, blah, blah, blah. So that's what people do. This is our time. We don't marry and get married. We eat and drink, but then we use social media. In Advent, it's a good thing to recognize that our ordinary life, our everyday activities, will cease when the Lord comes. It's good to be reminded of that. They're not so important. Even eating and drinking is not as important as we make it. That's why fasting is a good practice, to remind us what we really need is the Lord, and what we really want is for Him to come, both at the end of time and now. We want Him to come. In the second reading today, reading from Romans, Romans chapter 13, it might not strike people as a Christmassy reading, but it's a great Advent reading. It's a great Advent reading. You know the time, Paul says. You know the time. Jesus in the gospel said, you don't know the time. You don't know the exact time. But Paul says, no, you know that the time is coming, because it's nearer now than it was when you first believed. This passage from Romans is connected to the conversion story of St. Augustine. If you know St. Augustine's conversion story, this is part of it. I'll just remind you of it. It's from his book, The Confessions. He talks about he struggled. He struggled with his sin patterns. He struggled with the demands of faith. He didn't know how he could give himself to God because he was so caught up in his sin. But the Lord kept working in him, and his mother's prayers kept working on him. And he got to the point where he was in a terrible inner turmoil. And he's with his friend Alypius. And he hears this, what he thinks is a child's voice. He doesn't know whether it's a boy or a girl, singing like in a sing-song like a child's game, tole lege, meaning pick it up and read, pick it up and read. And he says, I know, I never heard that game before. And then he realizes it's not a child's game, it's the Lord speaking to him, pick it up and read, pick it up and read. And he has in mind the story of Saint Anthony, Anthony of the Desert, the original Saint Anthony, who happened to walk into a church and hear the gospel, and it changed his life. So he picks up the Bible. I guess he was struggling with the scriptures as it was. Picks up the letter of Paul to the Romans and reads the first verse that comes in front of him, and it's the last verses of this reading. Not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. And when Augustine read this word, he knew that the Lord was telling him, now is the time to put aside, to leave behind the sins of the flesh and put on Jesus Christ, make no provision for the sins of the flesh. Make no provision for natural desires. Live according to Jesus Christ. And he did that. That's the moment he identifies as the turning point in his life. It was a kind of, well, up until that point, it was Advent. And when the Lord came, it was Christmas. It was the arrival of the Lord. It was a kairos, a moment of the Lord acting in his life. So it's beautiful that on the first day of Advent, we read this passage. Now, probably most people won't connect it to St. Augustine, but we can connect it to the idea of a turning point, a change from the old ways to the new ways. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, Paul says. So we're leaving night behind. We're leaving sin behind. We're leaving whatever attachments we have behind. We're leaving the flood of social media behind. We're leaving our attachment to eating and drinking behind. And we're putting on Jesus Christ. Yes, we're looking forward to putting on Jesus Christ when he comes Christmas Day, but Advent starts with this idea that now's the time. We're preparing, but we're also doing. We're putting on Jesus Christ and we're making no provision for the desires of the flesh. Why do we do it today and not wait until December 25th? Because we don't know when the Lord will come. We don't know when he will act in our life. Yes, we know December 25th will come if the end of time doesn't come first. But yeah, Christmas Day will come. It will come in 26 days, 25 days from now, right? So that's on the calendar. But we don't know when the Lord enters into our life and when he acts with power in our life. So we have to be ready every day. So today and every day, we renew our dedication to putting aside sin, to leaving behind whatever gets in the way, including that flood of papers. These are all good things. I'm not saying anything negative about what the circular letters of the diocese or even our novena, but they're only good if they help us prepare for the coming of the Lord. That's Advent. Let us make this a fruitful Advent by preparing well and welcoming the Lord when he comes.